Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. The devil's web. The devil's web, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could spend together worshiping you in song and prayer. And giving, and looking in your word. I pray the Holy Spirit now would have his way in each of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 30, verse 24. Proverbs 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. What's the chance of you getting a pass to get into the Oval Office of the White House today? Calling up someone there, calling up the president or one of the Secret Service people, and just, sure, come on over. Yeah, that's fine. Sit down with us in the Oval Office, and yeah, that's great. Come on over. What are the chances of that happening today? Yeah, about zero. What are the chances today of getting in Buckingham Palace? Pretty slim. About zero. But you know what? There's someone in both of those. Spiders. Spiders. Now, verse 28. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is where? In king's palaces. There's spiders there. No official pass. Not invited. But they get in. They somehow make it. Spiders are in the homes of the poor and the rich, the well-known and the unknown, the most famous person upon earth with the biggest house upon earth. There's spiders there. There's spiders. I don't care how tight you seal up a house, spiders still get in. They're in king's palaces there. They get into the homes of the strong and of the weak. They're there. You find cobwebs everywhere. You find cobwebs in your bedroom, in the garage, in the basement, in the den, in the yard, in the woods. Is there any place you can go and not find a cobweb? I mean, I've been walking just across the open yard sometimes, and you'll just feel a cobweb hit your face. I mean, they're just floating in the air everywhere. They're everywhere. No one is exempt. Verse 28, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. I did a little reading about spiders. Spiders start out with one strand. If they're a place where there's wind, they might just kind of release that strand into the wind. And that's why sometimes you get hit with them right out in the middle of nowhere. The wind caught it and it went a little further, I guess, than the spider planned on. But the spider finds a spot, if it can stick that one strand somewhere, and will start building that web from one strand. The spider will carefully walk out on that strand and strengthen it, and then from there will build and build and build that spider web. And I learned, too, that spiders in their web have some strands that are sticky and some are not. I just kind of figured probably a spider was somehow God made it so it wouldn't stick to its own sticky stuff, you know, whatever it puts out there. But not so. A spider itself can get caught in its own web, so it has to travel the unsticky trails, the unsticky part of the web. The problem is no other bug knows what strand is sticky and what isn't. And so only the spider knows which road to travel. And, you know, in life, just think of how many people are traveling the wrong roads. Hold your place here, if you would, and turn me to Matthew chapter 7. How many people in life are traveling the wrong strand, the wrong road? And you know what? Most bugs that get into a spider web are doomed, unless they're really big. And sometimes if a too big of a bug gets caught in its web, the spider itself will cut the strand and let the thing go. Doesn't want to tackle it. But in Matthew 7, verse 13, enter ye into straight gate for what? Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to where? Destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and what? Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And what? Few there be that find it. There are so many people traveling all different kinds of strands through life, and they just think everything's going to be fine. But it's not, is it? It's not. The majority are traveling the broad way. The majority are traveling those strands where they're going to get caught and sent to hellfire without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan and his host are a lot like spiders. They weave all kinds of strands to try to catch us in life. All kinds of strands. And they're out there to trap, whether it's kings in Proverbs there, or whether it's the poorest. The spider is everywhere. And Satan and his hosts have temptations everywhere to try to entangle us. And notice with me in Ephesians 5. What are some of Satan's webs? What are some things you don't want to get on, or you'll get caught? Ephesians chapter 5. Well, the first web I think of the devil is rock music. Rock music. Ephesians 5:19. It says, speaking to who? Yourself. So we're talking about something private. Speaking to yourself. How many of you sing to yourself in the car or truck? Okay. I do that. Seems to sound fine in the car. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in where? Your heart to the Lord. So this is music that we sing or play in private. And it's to be what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so this is the music, even if this music is not coming out your mouth in private, this is the music that's going through your mind, the songs that are going through your mind, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, as Christians, we're not to live a split personality life. You know, we're not to have two different types of music. We're not to have two different types of lives. We're to be the same. And then notice in Colossians 3. Colossians 3. So the Lord is very specific. You know, some people say, well, God doesn't talk, you know, about music, so it really doesn't matter. Well, that is not true at all. He's very specific. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. If any music was okay, you know, the Christian rockers tell us that music is just like a pipe. A pipe is neutral. They just say it depends on what you put through it. Do you know there are some pipes in your house that carry water you drink? And there are some pipes in your house that carry sewage. And so the Christian rockers tell us, listen, music is just like a pipe. It just depends on what you put in it, whether you want to drink out of it or not. Well, no, they're trying to say as long as you put good words in that pipe, as long as you put good words with the music, it's okay. It's drinkable. Not so. There's some music that we shouldn't drink in. Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing what? One another. So this is something we do with other people. Teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms and what? Hymns and what? Spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So you know what? There is absolutely no difference between the music that we speak to ourselves or teach and admonish one another. So there should be no difference in the music that we listen to privately than what we would play for other people or sing for other people. It should be the same. And God's very specific: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, you know what? The devil, the master spider, has spun a web over this whole world. And I was reading about, I should have jotted this down, but there often, normally, a spider will weave its own web. But sometimes spiders will come together, and I think they said there was a web somewhere at some lake that was like 200 feet. And spiders, it was kind of like a communal web. It was just gigantic. And so they studied this thing, what was going on. But Satan has cast his web out over this whole world, his music web. And you know what? Satan really has just about conquered the world with his music, the devil's music, and even churches. Now, many Christians and churches have decided that rock music was an okay place to go and they wouldn't get stuck. They thought they could walk the strand of rock music, and they thought, hey, I'm okay. I can jump off the strand anytime I want, and it's no big deal. Well, they thought they could play both hymns and rock music. They thought they could play both strands, just like the cello has more than one string. The violins have more than one string. The flute has more than one note to play. The piano has more than one string. And so they just thought, it doesn't really matter. Play some rock, some hymns, it doesn't matter. So what did churches do? Churches began to have then contemporary and traditional services. They had the traditional service where they played hymns, and then they had the contemporary service where they played the rock music, the Christian rock. And now remember the days, not that many days ago, remember when out in front of many churches you would see on their sign, traditional service. Normally it was first, because normally it was the older people and they're used to getting out of bed earlier. And so normally it was traditional service at, you know, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock, and then contemporary service at, you know, who knows what, 11. How many of you have ever seen a sign out in front of a church that lists those two kinds of services? Yeah, they're all over. Contemporary and traditional services. How many of those have you seen lately? You know, it just struck me recently. I don't see that anymore. I don't see it. It's kind of a thing of the past right now. There might be a few strugglers, whatever they are, they're out there. But it just suddenly hit me. I am not seeing that on church signs anymore. Do you know why? And do you know what happened? Did they just forget the contemporary service because it was a big flop? No. What they actually have forsaken is the traditional service. That is what is gone. It's disappeared. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. What happened? Well, you jump on Satan's strand, and you get stuck. Whosoever committeth sin is the what? The servant of sin, John 8:34. You jump on Satan's strand just thinking, yeah, I'm just going to jump on this strand, and I'll jump over on this strand, no problem. Yeah, there is a problem. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have, what? Escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again, what? Entangled therein. And what? Overcome. Do you realize when a bug hits a spider's web and it's stuck on the sticky thing, what does the fly or the other bug do? Well, it starts to move around, and in the process of moving around, guess what? It hits some more sticky strands, And pretty soon that thing is just all wrapped up. And here comes the evil spider after it then. It's all over. So it says here, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is what? Worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." What is the holy commandment in regard to music? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. That is the holy commandment. It's very limited. There's just three things: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Music is not neutral. God says if you, what you're going to do in private, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What you're going to do in front of others, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. For these people to turn from that holy commandment, they get entangled, and the latter end of them is worse than the first. They're a bigger mess than they were before. You know, when I was a boy, every Baptist church I know of preached against rock music. Every one I know of. Now, I know of very few Baptist churches that do not play rock music right in their service. And as a boy, I sat there hearing messages against rock music. Now it's what they play. That's what happened? 2 Peter 2:20. They had escaped the pollutions of the world, and then they thought, you know what? I think we need to, what was happening was they were having a hard time getting the world in, because the darker things get in this world, the more difference they see in the church, and unless they're ready to repent, they don't want to come. And so these people got their heads together and thought, we got to get them in somehow. So, you know, young people just love this rock music. My grandpa used to call it jungle music. He did. But now, older people listen to it. This kind of boggles my mind. But they do. But anyway, so the churches said this. This was their excuse for bringing it in. They said, we've got to play the world's music to attract them into our services. So the only way we're going to get the world in here is to play their music. Well, I tell you one thing, you'll get the world in there, all right. When I was a boy, not a young boy, but I must have been a teenager someplace, but I don't know if you've ever heard of this group that I'm about to name. I don't know if they're still in existence, if you've ever heard of them. Maybe they're still around, but it was called London, Paris, and the Apostles. And they were not a bunch of French guys. Okay, it was a guy's name, London, Paris. That was his name. And so this group came on a Sunday night. And I mean, our church was pretty full. And this group had these huge, tall speakers they set up. I never remember in their church anyone using anything other than but the PA system. But they brought their huge speakers set in, and they got up, and it was Christian rock. Oh, boy. Some of the deacons were smoking, and I'm not talking about tobacco. I mean, they were fierce. How did these guys get into our church? But what was something was that after the service ended, there was an exchange that took place. The regular church folks, a good share of them, exited. And outside, there was waiting tons of people to get back in because this group was playing again, having their concert after the service. And wow. I don't know to this day whoever got that group in there, but there was a lot of anger over it anyway. But in that same church today, there'll be rock music playing during the regular services. So anyway, their excuse was, we've got to play the world's music to get the world in here. Well, the world came, but not for the preaching. After the regular people exited, the world came in. They never heard any preaching from those guys. All they got was their ears blasted out. Was from the sound. And so they brought in the devil's music into the church to try to reach the people out of the world, but the exact opposite happened. They didn't reach the world. The world conquered them. They didn't change the world with their rock music, their Christian rock, so-called. But the world changed them. Now, they are the ones that don't have a traditional service. They are the ones that don't play the traditional hymns anymore. They're gone. So their excuse to try to use this wild music to bring the world in, they didn't change the world. The world changed them. The world forever changed their church services and their lives. And they'll never be the same. 2 Peter 2:20, 21. It'd be better for them not to have known the right way than to do what they have done. So, do you see how the devil laid out that web of rock music? And it's stuck just about everyone in this world. I mean, how many professing Christians do you know that don't listen to rock of some sort, whether it's secular or Christian, so-called? There really is no such thing as Christian rock. You can't play rock music and have it Christian. I'll give you a bunch of quotes here. Even the world knows that. This one, these are several quotes here that Brother Cloud has gathered from his years of study on rock music. But here's one. Jet guitarist says rock is the devil's music. It says, while accepting one of six awards given to his rock band at the Australian Recording Industry Association Awards on October 18th, Jet guitarist, and that's the name of their group, Jet guitarist Cameron Munsey quipped, "I'd like to thank God for this award. I'd like to thank God, but I can't, because rock and roll is the devil's music." That's from the world. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, say, well, you know, thank God for this award. And he says, but I can't, because I know this is the devil's music. The world knows. Here's one from David Noe Bell from the book The Legacy of John Lennon. And John Lennon was one of the Beatles, the rock group Beatles. And David Noebel says this, "The truth is that rock and roll is moral hemlock." That's poison. "It is by nature a music of demonic rebellion and protest." That's the world. Writing about John Lennon, and here he's saying, the truth is that rock music by nature is a music of demonic rebellion and protest. Here's another one from the Dallas Morning News from Little Richard, part of a rock group. It says, "Rock and roll doesn't glorify God." This is unsaved rock and rollers saying this. "Rock and roll doesn't glorify God. You can't drink out of God's cup and the devil's cup at the same time. I was one of the pioneers of that music, rock music, one of the builders. I know what the blocks are because I built them." Well, he's one of them. Here's one from the Los Angeles Times, Lita Ford, of the heavy metal group called The Runaways. She said this, "Listen, rock and roll ain't church. It's nasty business. You gotta be nasty too. If you're goody-goody, you can't sing or play it." That's the world. That's the world saying it. Boy, I wish the churches knew that. Here's one from Ray Gosling from the BBC Radio. He says, "Rock and roll is a beast. Well-intentioned people thought you could pick it up and cuddle it. They forgot it had claws." That's the world. It's the world talking about it. It's Satan. He has weaved his web. And let me tell you something. His strands are sticky. And rock and roll is one of the stickiest webs he's got out there. And it just pulls everybody. they think they can, as this person said, well-intentioned people thought you could pick it up and cuddle it. They forgot it had claws. Here's one from John Lennon. He spoke this shortly before his death. He was another one of the original Beatles. He said, rock music has got the same message as before. It is anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, and anti-morality. But near just before his death there in 1980, he went on to say this, but now I understand that what you have to do, you have to put the message across with a little honey on it. Do you know what John Lennon, one of the original Beatles, was seeing before his death? He was seeing the Christian rockers use it. And he was saying, rock music has got the same message as before. When we Beatles were together, it was the same thing. It was anti-religious. One of their songs, Imagine There's No Heaven, No Hell. It's anti-religious, it's anti-nationalistic. The Beatles were more sympathetic with Russia than with the United States of America. In their songs, they were more sympathetic with communist Russia than the United States of America. And John Lennon, shortly before his death there in 1980, said, rock music has the same message it had before, back in the good old days when we used to sing it. But he says, I understand now, you got to put a little honey with it. He knew it hadn't changed. The very core of rock music is demonic. But he knew the truth. Here's one from Timothy O'Leary. He was a new age guru and heavy promoter of LSD, the drug. But he said this, Timothy O'Leary said, don't listen to the words. It's the music that has its own message. I've been stoned on the music many times. That's Timothy O'Leary. These Christian rockers say, the music is neutral. The music doesn't matter. The notes don't matter. It's just what words you put it to it. And Timothy O'Leary said, it don't matter what words you put to this music. It's a drug. He says, I've been stoned. And I don't even know if they still use that terminology. But back when I was a teenager, if people got drunk, they would say they got drunk. But the people on drugs, if they were high on drugs, they would say they were stoned. So they made that distinction. And Timothy O'Leary said, I've been stoned on the music many times. Forget the words. Who can hardly understand the words anyway? It's that driving rock beat. Steven Tyler of the rock group Aerosmith, he said, rock music is the strongest drug in the world. That's the world. That's the world seeing it. Let's go back to Ephesians 5:19. But as I just, it just hit me as I was studying for this message, I couldn't tell you the last time I've seen a church sign that lists two services now, traditional and contemporary. It's all contemporary. Now, you may still know one of those churches that's trying to do both strands, but it'll end. It'll end. Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So that's speaking to yourselves. And then Colossians 3:16. So that's in private, in public. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So whether it's in private or in public for others, what we listen to, if we listen to the radio in private or turn it on when others are there, Whether we play an instrument just when we are there or in front of others, whether we sing just to ourselves in the car or wherever, or whether we sing before others, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And these professing Christians that think they can straddle both strands, I'll walk on the strand of hymns, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, but there's nothing wrong with jumping over to the strand of rock. I'll play both strands. Won't happen. They're going to get stuck on one, and I can tell you which one it is. It's rock music. It's that drug. And that is exactly what's happened to these churches. They're stuck on it now. There's no such thing as traditional. There's no such thing as sacred music anymore in their churches. The sad thing is did you notice yesterday how many people were singing along with us hymns along the way? I guess I was kind of shocked, because as the years go by, there are fewer and fewer churches still singing hymns. How many of those people that we saw singing yesterday heard the same hymns that we sang in church this morning, wherever they went? Probably a very tiny percentage. Very tiny. Satan has his web out there. And a lot of people think they can walk any strand they choose. And a lot of people are walking the strand of false religion, trying to get to heaven through their baptism or their church membership or giving money. Some just think there is no heaven or hell, like the Beatles. Well, I tell you what, they all know there's a heaven and a hell now. Well, they all know it now. Let's not fall for the devil's web. There's only one way to heaven, and it's through the precious, pure, sinless blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on that cross for us. And God calls us to repentance. When we come to Him asking for His precious blood to cleanse us, He wants us to have a desire for a new life, not that old life, not the old music. The Bible says sing a new song. That's not a new rock song. That's the old worldly stuff. A new song is a new spiritual song. That's what He wants us to sing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. I pray that You'd help us. We know the devil is a master weaver of webs. And as we look around, Lord, he has just about conquered the entire world with his web of rock music. Once they try to jump over to that strand of music, they're stuck. They're stuck. And Father, we know that they can be delivered through the precious blood of Christ. But as we read the warning in Your scripture that for those who have truly been born again, to then jump back on that strand, Your warning says they're going to get entangled and their latter end's going to be worse than the first. Father, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, if there should be any here this morning who are not saved, Lord, help them to come this morning and to settle that. I pray You'd help us as Christians. Lord, help us to beware of Satan's web out there. Lord, help us not to think that we are strong enough in ourselves to jump back and forth. We're not. We'll get stuck. We thank You for the deliverance that is in Christ Jesus. Have Your way in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.